Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 21st of November, recording at 5:15 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, that's obviously earlier than usual because I have a concert, but there is plenty to talk about, and the copy is already posted. Now, first, what to talk about? Well, let's take Europe. No, I'm going to start with Asia, as I usually do. And I would say there are three important things. The most important is probably an upside key day reversal by the China A-Share Index. That's S-H-A-S-H-R. And that adds credibility to the hypothesis that the market is actually in a support building phase prior to a medium term recovery. Now, the other development is Japan, which has been in pretty fine form generally, really since we had the announcement that the election was going to occur, and that the next prime minister, I'm assuming that it will be Mr. Abe, will be moving swiftly to align the Bank of Japan with his own thinking, and that is that the yen needs to be much weaker. They need to break the overall deflationary cycle that they've been experiencing. And since the Bank of Japan governor will be retiring, or his term will expire in April, next April, and he's not going to be reappointed, that's for certain, then we will have, for the first time in a long time, both the BOJ and the government on the same side. Now, that is certainly very bullish for Japan, in my opinion. All you have to do is just calculate the improvement in earnings potential for Japanese companies. It will mean that fewer of them have to move offshore, and indeed they can start repatriating some of their overseas, or some of their overseas divisions into Japan, and they will become more competitive. Now, just as a relevant aside on this subject, Fuller Money has always respected and favored hard currencies. But the problem is that if everyone else is involved in a process of competitive devaluation, then Japan is left high and dry, as we have seen. Now, knowing that the yen is going to weaken, I think that any other investor who wants to play Japan has to either accept that, or they can use various policies. They can, for instance, they can short the yen as one, or some people will not want to do that, they could, for instance, they could use a spread bet trading technique, where you can buy in sterling or in euros or whatever you want to buy Japan in. So there are various ways around this overall, but I assume that the two are going to take place over the next number of months and take place together, and that is a weaker yen and a stronger Japanese stock market. Now, the third point to mention on the Asian markets is the strength of the Philippines. That's long been one of the world's strongest stock markets, and it held very firm within a range throughout the Wall Street correction to date, and hit a new high yesterday and followed through and extended those gains here today. It's a little bit overbought. On the basis of the 200-day moving average, It's not way overextended, and I've mentioned the level that you need to watch, which would perhaps signal a little bit of mean reversion towards that that MA. But I think that's unlikely to happen in the very short term. Now, elsewhere, the other I think the Hong Kong listed China indices have done well in here today as well. Now, moving on to Europe, this is firm generally, and not least the two indices that that's the SX5E and the SX7E, which measure the strength of the leading European markets and also the European banks. Now, those are in trading ranges, and they've remained in trading ranges over the last month. They haven't given up all that much ground. I think they don't. I doubt they've given up more than a fifth, or at most a quarter, of the rallies that they saw from their lows several months ago. And therefore, these patterns look like consolidations. And that says that Europe, while it has many problems, not least how to generate growth, but I don't think that it's going to be such a big concern that it will be dragging down other global stock markets. And that's a positive, that's a net positive change, I think, for the investment field. Now, moving on to Wall Street, which is showing a modest rally as I speak today. It is maintaining the upward dynamics that we saw on Monday, and that's following the low that we had, the reaction low on Friday. So the rally is getting a little bit bigger. It's the best rally since we had that peak a couple of months ago. And I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt in here. As I mentioned yesterday at some length, the Republican and also Democrat investors who were surprised perhaps by the election result and held large positions, whether they were surprised or not, they held large positions, and it's obvious that taxes are going to go up, as President Obama has promised, so that will happen in the new year. And therefore, a steady market on Wall Street is likely to encounter some short-term profit taking, which can hold it up somewhat. But I think really this is a technicality, and that is that some of the profits that might have been taken next year are being taken at year-end 2012, and those people will largely buy back the same or similar shares in the new year. And what else to mention here? Looking at long-dated government bonds, they're a little bit easier here today. I have said on a number of occasions, as is Owen, that this is a major bubble. That ought to be obvious. We've seen a 30-year rise, and the last few years of the rise have been tacked on because of the quantitative easing that we've actually seen. Now, this is unprecedented, and therefore it's hard to be precise in terms of when this is going to eventually run into trouble. Ideally, and my hunch is that it will probably happen either just slightly before, as people begin to anticipate that a stronger economy, a stronger global economy, will cause the Fed and other central banks, who are all involved in, or mainly all involved in a similar monetary reflation, to back off. And when that actually happens, I think we will see some sharp downward dynamics in the price of bond futures. In other words, yields will spike upwards, and that will signal, I think, the end of this this long bull market, which has turned into a bubble. Now, there's a good chance that this isn't going to happen in the next few months. Will it happen at some point in 2013? Possibly. But let's wait. We can monitor developments here. But I think the only two things that I feel certain about is that it will happen, and that will be very dangerous for bond investors. Now, meanwhile, they are holding on because those total return indices are very steady, and therefore they're still on a winner. And not only, the fact that those total return indices for, and I'm really talking now about U.S. treasuries, the long-dated treasuries, I'm talking about gilts, we could say the same for Japanese bonds, the German bunds, Australian bonds, so on. I think also Canadian bonds, maybe a couple of others. And we have these record low interest rates. We're getting the quantitative easing here, and this has prolonged the bull market. And it can only be described as a massive bubble. And I think that investors who try to wait until they see the trouble are going to find themselves in trouble. Because I think what some of them will do, no doubt, is get overconfident because no one wants to see their bull market end. We know the psychology at bull market tops, and rather than selling as that next downward dynamic or that initial downward dynamic from the peak is actually occurring, some of them may actually buy more, hoping that we get some sort of extended top development at worst. Well, forewarned is forearmed here, and I'm going to go on repeating this warning from time to time, and more importantly, I'll go on monitoring this market for its eventual end. As I say, I don't think that it's going to happen in the short term. Might it happen later this year? To repeat that point, quite possibly, but we should, if we're alert and expecting it and knowing that it will be trouble, then we should be able to respond in time. And it'll be a short on the downside, obviously. What else to mention here? Precious metals, quite steady overall. I feel that they're now consolidating prior to renewed gains. And indeed, with record low interest rates, all this quantitative easing, that really does create a favorable environment for precious metals. Seasonally, conditions are now favorable, and I'm very bullish in terms of what we're likely to see both over the remainder of this year and particularly during next year. We are, just to remind you, in the 15th month of this lengthy pause that we have seen, and on average, I believe the three or so earlier instances when we saw similar lengthy pauses, I think they averaged about 21 months before we saw new all-time highs for gold and a number of the other precious metals. And I certainly expect new all-time highs, at least for gold, to occur in 2013. So, much that looks interesting out there. The overall commodity indices are range-bound at present. That's good because central banks don't have to worry quite so much about their quantitative easing at this stage. And that remains a favorable environment overall for equities. And on that note, all the best to all of you.